All right, thanks for tuning in to KOVE 1330 AM, 107.7 FM, Community Connected. You're listening to Coffee Time. I'm your host, Vince Tropea. And as I mentioned before the break, we're in studio today with Mr. Randy Wise from the Lander Pioneer Museum. Coffee Time family stopping by to talk about the American Solar Car Challenge. It's a multi-state series. It's going to be taking place in Lander on the 13th and 14th at the Pioneer Museum. Randy's stopping by today to fill us in on what that's going to entail and what people can expect, as well as some other happenings from the Pioneer Museum. But before we get into it, Mr. Wise, how are we doing today?
Doing good, Vince. Thanks for having me in.
We can't wait to have these events happen. We're looking forward to them. Before we do dive into those two real quick, actually, how did the talk go with Alan the other night?
Fantastic. It was actually last night. We had 46 people, which is a great turnout. Sold a lot of books. And he gave a really interesting talk about, you know, not just the subject of his book, which is the Japanese-American experience during World War II, but, you know, he talked a lot about projects he's working on. He's got some really interesting things coming up, and he obviously has a long connection with Lander, so he was reminiscing a little about his days at the Lander Journal and at the city, where he worked it for a long time too.
Totally. I was really sad. I couldn't go to that last night, but I loved having that conversation with him. Thank you for setting that.
Oh
up.
Yeah, he's a great guy, and like you say, he's got a lot of. I'm hoping he's going to be coming back to Lander because he's got some cool projects in the works. So
sounded like it. And speaking of cool projects and events going on, yeah, what can you tell us about the American Solar Car Challenge?
Well, it's one of the funnest events I've been involved with at the museum, and it kind of was one of those things that wasn't even on my radar until the first time it happened. It's been going on for some years, and basically what it is it's a about every 2 years, this organization puts together a race for solar cars. And I mean solar cars, i.e. powered entirely by the sun.
Right,
And they do that to test the cars, to sort of raise awareness of solar energy and things like that. And they do races in different parts of the country. So 3 years ago, they basically followed the route of the Oregon Trail, which takes them right by Lander. And they contacted me, and I'd never heard of them before. They said, we were doing this thing. Would you be willing to be a host? And I said, yeah, it sounds kind of cool. Well, mm-hmm. Yeah, bring it on. And
yeah, ties to the Oregon Trail.
Yeah, and when the car started pulling in that first day, it was just so much fun to see these. I mean, they look like spaceships.
Yeah.
And see all these teams come rolling in. And at that point, it was an international race. They're hoping to go back to that. But right now, with the, you know, COVID stuff still lingering, it's just a North American. So there are Canadian teams and United States teams.
Okay.
The previous races have, you know, the team that won the year we hosted it was actually an Australian team from the University of Sydney. So that said, it's still a really cool event. There's, I can't remember how many teams are coming this year. It's around 18 from universities all over the United States and Canada. And these are college kids, and sometimes they're sponsored and sometimes they're just doing it on their own. And they're putting together these solar cars to improve the technology, show off what solar power can do, and they do it in this multi-stage race across the country. And they enjoyed the Oregon Trail route so much 3 years ago that they said, you know, we want to do this again. And I said, let me know when you're coming. We're ready for you.
Nice.
And this was the year they decided to restage it along the Oregon Trail route. So they're leaving Independence, Missouri, and they do stages through Kansas, Nebraska, Wyoming, and Idaho.
Okay.
And Lander is an overnight stop for them. Some stops are just daytime stops to recharge batteries. But they're actually going to be in Lander overnight, which is cool because it allows people a lot of time to see the cars, mm-hmm. talk to the teams, and then cheer them on the next day. So on July 13th, from about 1 o'clock to 6 o'clock, the cars will be coming in. Again, this is a stage race, so
right.
It's the overall time that whoever's coming in first on the lander leg may or may not be in the lead.
Totally. Gotcha.
You know, it's kind of like the stage stop race for the dog sled. So it's the cumulative time. So between 1 and 6, they'll be rolling in, and that's fun to watch. The cars come in, and then they put their solar panels up to start charging because they want to get as much sun as they possibly can.
Right.
And, of course, except for the brief thunderstorm that just rolled
through,
we have an abundance of sun for them. And then the Pioneer Association is hosting a picnic for the teams, just the teams. Now, it's not open to the public that evening. And then on July 14th, they're going to line up and head out on the next stage, which takes them into over South Pass and into Idaho. That's actually, I think, the funnest part of it is to watch their cars go out.
Yeah.
Because they do a checkered flag and everything. Their cars are lined up in the parking lot of the museum. I wouldn't say revved up exactly because they're not revving.
whatever these solar equivalent, flared up.
They're flared up. That'll work. And then they head out with the checkered flag. And I know a couple of years ago we had folks at the museum jump in their own cars and follow the teams taking pictures and stuff. And they encouraged that.
Yeah.
You know, and there were people that actually drove ahead of them to get up onto South Pass or Red Canyon and, you know, get pictures of them as they went by.
That's an especially cool photo opportunity.
Yeah, it really is. So that they'll start the race at 9 on July 14th. So that's a good day to come. And you can come the previous day too and see them, and they'll be there all evening.
Mm-hmm.
And they really like talking about their cars
and
you know, the technology, and they encourage kids. My kids got to sit in the solar cars, and you know, they thought that was really neat, and I guess grown-ups can do that too.
Way
probably
cool, yeah.
So you know, it's an exciting event. It's neat, and because these kids, they're college students, are so enthusiastic and so smart. And because they're literally building these cars from scratch.
Well, and that's such a cool way to kind of work out the kinks and figure out how to fix things in real-time problems too. That with a group that's supporting you, no one's going to get left behind.
There are two categories of cars. There's the individual car, which is just one driver basically. So those are smaller and lighter. But they also have a four-passenger category where these cars have to be able to carry four passengers. And you know, get them safely to where they're going. And those are actually the size of a full-size car that we would drive, which is kind of neat to see that. You know, I think this technology is much more advanced than I knew about it, you know, when they got here. I was like, this is actually feasible.
Uh-huh.
These cars can do highway speeds. It's not like they're creeping along at 30 miles an hour. They're doing 60, 65. Some of them can do 70, they told me a couple of years ago. So these cars can move and carry passengers and do it all with the sun.
That's just amazing. And,
yeah.
And what a cool way, like I said, what a cool way to do it. And that's got to be awesome for them to Lander's like a little oasis along that spot.
They loved Lander because, for one thing, we offer, you know, we let them camp at the museum so they can just be right there with their cars, and they don't always get that opportunity. You know, the Pioneer Association is putting a picnic on for them. You're right. It is this green little valley, and you know, the weather's always nice, and the sun. You know, so they really did enjoy it. And I had so many teams tell me, you know, we want a museum sticker because we want to remember this place and we want to come back, which I thought was really, really neat.
Yeah, that's got to make you feel good.
Yeah.
So do folks need to, is there any type of like ticketing or
registration?
No. This is just like a show
you
up.
You just
kind of
show
thing.
Up. You know, that's, you know, this is all outdoors on the museum grounds. So again, you know, the cars will be rolling in starting about around 1 on July 13th. And, you know, throughout the afternoon, most of them, they all should be in by 6. They seem to, at least my memory of it from last time, is they kind of come in waves. There will be 4 or 5 arrive, and then, you know, half an hour, another 4 or 5 will arrive. And but they're all there at 6, and they'll have their car set up and the panels charging. So 6 is a good time to come because you could see all of the cars on display. And then, you know, they're often working on the cars too, tinkering with things or changing tires.
Oh, I bet.
So it's kind of cool to watch that process. And then, like I say, the next day is the race start, which starts at 9. So if you want to get there probably around 8:30 to sort of watch them line up and get their pole positions.
I think I'll definitely probably be the one covering that.
Yeah, that'd be great. It's fun, and you know, like I say, they do a checkered flag, and the cars head out, and you know, I know 3 years ago everybody kind of picked their favorite team, and the Australians were very popular. They were a very popular team, so I'm curious to see who gets to be the popular team this year. But they're all neat, and they all clearly put an enormous amount of time and energy into these cars and this project. I think it's a very prestigious thing to win for these universities and for these kids. Most of them are going into engineering or things like that, and I think it's quite a challenge, but also a real there's real rewards for them.
Oh yeah, well, not to mention I just spent $60 to fill up my Toyota Camry, so hey, I might be throwing a solar panel on top of that here soon.
Well, you know, like I say, it's interesting to, you know, sort of see this and go that this is feasible.
Oh, for sure,
it is definitely feasible, which is interesting because I wouldn't have thought that before I saw the race mm-hmm. 3 years ago, and I'm sure that it's even gotten better since then.
Well, that just shows you too that it's a learning process, that they're willing to teach you and talk about it when they show up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah.
Well, cool. I'm looking forward to it, and I do appreciate you taking the time to stop by and tell us about it. Was there anything else going on? We were kind of chatting before the interview started, and you're like, oh, yeah, there's a lot going on in the Pioneer Museum.
The museum is spring through fall is packed. We've got a lot of events, so I'm just going to talk about stuff in July. We have a full August, a full September, a full October. Our normal things that we do, we did Sheep Shearing Day back in April, but we've got Apple Fest coming up and we've got Halloween coming up.
Right.
But before that, we have our speakers program going on currently, and we just had Alan Ohashi in the other night. Terrific talk. We've got several more coming up. The next one in July is July 21st, it's a Thursday, and it's a historian talking about Esther Hobart Morris and the women's suffrage movement in Wyoming and how that got started and some of the myths that have sort of built up around it. So that should be a really interesting talk. All of our talks are at the museum. They start at 7 o'clock, and they're all free to the public, so please feel free to come on out. I would come early because we have been filling up to the point where I'm out of chairs.
Well, yeah, I saw the photo of Alan's that you guys posted of Alan's.
Yeah, I ended up standing in the back because we used up all of our chairs. So
that's another good problem to have, though.
It is. And then as far as our kids programs, we've got a neat one coming up in July. It is called, but the title is Family Nameplates. So what it is, it's a craft project where families get to create, or kids get to create, a family crest, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And they're guided by museum employees, so they find out what the kids, maybe what their background is, if they're Scottish or mm-hmm. whatever, and then they help them design a crest, and it's actually going to be made out of wood, and they paint it. And it's a cool, we've done it before, it's a cool project. And that is July 23rd, so that's Saturday, July 23rd, 1 to 3 p.m. That's a fun project for kids. I would encourage people to sign up in advance for that one.
And what's the way to do that?
The way to do it is call the museum or stop by. You can call us at 332-3373, or you can stop by. We're happy to put your name on a list because we only have 12 slots for that because it's pretty labor intensive, and it's not one of our kids' events where we can have lots of kids. That's kind of a more exclusive kids' event.
Okay.
And then we have a trek, two treks in July. Treks are where we take people to different historic locations around the area, and those are always fun and very popular. Again, call and sign up for them because they do tend to fill up. But our first one is July 16th, which is a Saturday, and that is historic lander houses. And I will be leading a walking tour of some, and I emphasize some, of the historic houses in Lander because we'd be out for days if I tried to cover them all, because there are a lot of them. So we're going to kind of hit some of the highlights on the south side of town this year. Maybe I'll do the north side of town next year. And then July 23rd, the same day as the kids' nameplate craft, we are doing a trek to the McKinney Ranch out at the out near Johnny Behind the Rocks, which is a old historic ranch. It served as a stage station at one time.
Okay.
It's a neat place to visit, and it's one of those places the general public just doesn't get to go. This is a neat opportunity for people to see a place you wouldn't normally get to go, and also learn a lot about sort of our local history. And we've got more coming up in August and September as well. But I'll come back and talk to you about
that. Yeah, we'll save that for then.
I'll come back and talk about that. But if you need We have brochures. Our website and our Facebook page list all of our events and programs, so check those out. Facebook is Pioneer Museum Lander, Wyoming, and it's www.fremontcountymuseums.com for the website. And like I say, we're happy to have you come in, and we'll hand you a brochure, too.
Perfect. I mean, yeah, just so much cool stuff going on at the Pioneer Museum. And I'm looking forward to the American Solar Car Challenge. That's just sounding cool. I really do appreciate you stopping by and filling us in on all that, Randy.
Thanks a lot, Vince. Appreciate it.
And you're welcome back anytime, especially in August as we get closer to the other events, too. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, more coffee time.